Praise God. Now can you just stand to your feet again and we're going to pray. We're going to get into the word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just shut your eyes. Put your hand on your heart. Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, I bow my knees before you, the only God, the God who doesn't need anyone. You, God, who are God all alone. Father, I bow my knees before you, the Father in whom every family derives its name. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit that you would speak to each one of us, that your word would penetrate every single heart and do something in each of us that will bring us closer and nearer to you and more fit for the purpose to which you have called us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to share a little bit this morning. We're going to go somewhere, but we're going to start looking at the life, just for a few moments, of Saul. King Saul in the Old Testament. This was a man, as you may have heard me say before, this was a man who was called by God, chosen by God for a purpose for his generation. You know, it is so important that we understand that every single one of us has a call. Every one of us has a unique purpose that God wants us to fulfill, but us fulfilling that is not a given. Turn to your neighbor and say, she's telling the truth. Because you see, we have to work in partnership with God, but he's looking for people whose hearts are right. He doesn't expect us to be right when he calls us. He doesn't expect us to ever become perfect, not fully, although he tells us to, so I don't know. Maybe he'll explain that one to me in heaven. But he wants to work with you and me to do something so phenomenal in your generation, in your community, in your family, that will give you the greatest sense of fulfillment that you've ever known. Do you know, fulfilling God's destiny for your life is the only way that you will know true fulfillment. Nothing less will satisfy. Nothing less will ever give you that sense of being in the right place at the right time. But when you do, when you say, God, I'm going to allow you to do in me what you need to do in order to get me ready for what you want to do through me, then you're going to start to taste and see just how good the Lord is. You know, there are so many things in the Bible, so many promises about the goodness of God. And so often people say, oh, but that's not my experience. I would really encourage you in one thing. Do everything you can do to submit to God's word, to just allow him to work on the inside of you. And soon enough, that will be your testimony. Because you can't be someone that God is changing and working in without eventually you starting to reach that place of inner peace. Without you starting to reach that place of genuine contentment. You see, achieving, succeeding, getting married, getting that promotion, getting a new house, a bigger house, a better house, a great car, a great watch. Do you know those things, although they'll be a blessing, they'll never, ever, ever give you fulfillment. Are you hearing me? They won't. No man, no woman can ever make you feel happy unless you find that inner contentment first, and then you can become happy together. And you see, God chose Saul because he knew Saul could make it, because he had a plan for Saul's life. And we're going to look very quickly at a couple of scriptures in 1 Samuel 13:11-12. Saul was in a place, King Saul, he'd already won a few victories, already been doing well, following God. But, say but. But then he got off the bandwagon. He got off God's way of doing things. And the enemy's coming, and the people of Israel are all going, oh my goodness, we're going to lose the war, because they weren't leaders. They were waiting for the leader to say, no, our God will deliver us. They were waiting for their leader to encourage them. We all need to be a leader in our own lives, amen? Amen. And so they start getting panicky, and then as a result, Saul does something he shouldn't do. He does a sacrifice. It wasn't lawful before God for him to do it. Verse 11, Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come, and that the Philistines gathered together, then I said, they'll now come down at Gilgal, and I've not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. What is this? You see, Saul had taken his eyes off God. He was now worried about what the people thought. He was afraid about their opinions and reactions. The opinions of people, say that with me, the opinions of people. And then if we just over the page a couple to 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24. And this was when he was given a command, go destroy the enemy completely, utterly. And he didn't. He did it partially. He didn't fully obey God. And then in verse 24, he says why he didn't. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Then just in verse 30, Samuel now tells him, as a result of that, you've lost your destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, how sad is that? And Samuel's telling him, because you chose to seek the approval of people rather than the favor and approval of God, that's it. Your time of ruling is coming to an end. And even at that point, you know, God is the most awesome God. When we repent, when we say, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me. I've been looking to people, not you. Forgive me. God is so quick to show mercy. But even in that place, if we then look at verse 30, even in the place of where Saul had messed up, he's still worrying what people will think. And he says to Samuel, I've sinned, yet please, honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel. And return with me. Do you hear that? Even at his point of downfall, he's thinking, what will people think? Are you hearing me? It's the saddest, one of the saddest stories I know, because he never overcame one of his greatest failings, and he could have overcome it. Listen, let me tell you, there's no issue in your life that you cannot overcome. There is no shortfall, there's no weakness. There's no failing that you cannot overcome just by completely surrendering to God and by not giving up and by laying hold of the power of God to work in you. Amen. Now, listen, if you really want to know the difference between David and Saul, it's this. David was a man after God's heart, and Saul was a man after the people's hearts. Now, let me ask you and myself a question. Whose heart do you want to win? And don't be too quick to answer. You know, it's so important that we don't jump to conclusions about our own hearts. Are you hearing me? And really allow God by his Spirit to speak to us deep within, so that we can hear what the Lord's saying, so that we can grow, so that we can be transformed, because truth can put us on the right track. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29, verses 25 to 26 says, the fear of man brings a trap. The fear of man brings a trap. If we can just have that on the screen, Proverbs 29, verse 25. fear of man brings a trap, but those who trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. I want us to look at some of this today because God's been really speaking to my heart. You know, it's so easy to suddenly find yourself seeking the favor and approval of people. It's so easy to find yourself not just, you see, some of you, you know that you're afraid of what people think. You know that other people's opinions really can get your stomach in a knot. And I'm telling you today, God wants you to be completely free from that. He wants you to be set free. So what other people think does not bother you one iota. Are you hearing me? But you see, others, you know, it says in Galatians, you started off well by the Spirit, but why have you got into the flesh? Let me give you an example. You started off well in the Spirit. So in other words, you believed God for that job. And you've been confessing the favor of God that surrounds your life. You've been saying, Father, I thank you that your favor surrounds me. And God secured you such an awesome job. And you knew it was the favor of God. But then suddenly, in the job, you've started to seek the favor of your boss. You've started to worry what your boss thinks, what your boss says. You've started to think, oh my goodness, my colleagues don't think I'm good. My colleagues are doubting my ability. Do you see? Fear is a slippery slope. And the enemy's always looking to try and get back in. Are you hearing me? But God does not want us to shift our attention from seeking his favor alone. There's an awesome scripture. It says, and this is Galatians 1 verse 10 in the Amplified, please. In the Amplified, it says, am I trying to win the favor of man or of God? I want you right now to think about your own life. What area of your life do you need people, apparently, to do the right thing for you? What area? It's Galatians 1 verse 10 in the Amplified. What area in your life do you need a breakthrough? And I want you just to look and think for a while. You know, am I still just looking to God? It's not that we kind of behave ridiculously or stupidly or foolishly around people, you understand? It's about where our posture is. Many seek the ruler's favor. Who's the ruler? Well, for you, it might be your boss. For you, it might be your husband. Do you know, honest truth, for many years, I was actually completely in love with, but afraid of my husband. Oh. Well, you remember the day I said, I'm not afraid of you anymore. And it wasn't that long ago. You know, and so his opinion just mattered so much. Now, it's important that as a wife, that I submit to my husband. Therefore, his opinion is important. Do you understand the difference? What he thinks is very important to me. But if I'm afraid of his opinions, then I can't ever get myself right. I can't, you know, if the stuff that he wants sorted in my life, and I'm afraid of him, then, you know, you can't do anything in fear. It's by faith that we can get transformed from glory to glory. It's by faith, it's by believing God and not looking at ourselves. You know, so the ruler could be a father of yours. Well, you've probably only got one biological father. But it could be your father, it could be a mother, it could be somebody that you look to and their opinion just matters an awful lot. Are you listening to me? And you know that when you're making a decision in your life, there is a sense of anxiety on the inside until you know what that person thinks. And until you're sure that they approve, your plans will not be concrete yet. But you see, the Bible says that many people, the crowds, do you understand? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. The crowds, the multitudes, the many are craving after the favor, the support, that nod, that smile, that affirming hug, whatever it is, from somebody that is important to you. But you see, that is not God's way. Do you remember what I just read, what Paul wrote to the Galatians? Here, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Who do you want to favor you right now? If you want people to favor you, it says here, do I still seek to please men? If I was still seeking popularity, I couldn't possibly be a servant of Jesus's. Are you hearing me? If wanting people to like you is important, I want to encourage you to come to God and allow Him to do a work in your heart today. You know, I know that God, for some of you, it's people who started out well. There's some of you here today, and you started out really seeking God's favor, but something has happened. Let me tell you a story. And, you know, God is so good. This is an area I used to be absolutely terrified what anyone that I thought was vaguely important thought. I mean, I would be a bag of nerves. You wouldn't have known I was nervous unless you knew me well. But I just cared far too much what important preachers thought, what pastors thought, what family members who I thought were clever or rich or successful. I mean, I was just constantly like, what do they think? And I would be constantly trying to shut my husband up, who never cared what anyone thought. So he'd be sitting there, you know, I'll never forget the time when he's meeting my family for the first time, and I've got some quite like successful family members. Do you know what I'm talking about? And of course, I cared desperately what they thought. And my husband's, you know, dropping in. Oh, yeah, well, my dad was in the IRA. And, you know, and I'm like, can you please wait to share that little bit of your history? That can wait until kind of time 10 when they're meeting you. Do you understand? Not the first meeting. Are you hearing me? They're very English, my family. And they don't really understand the kind of the Irish thing. Are you hearing me? And I'd be sitting there going, God, you know, why did you give me a man who doesn't care what people think? Please, Lord, give me a man, please, as a husband. I mean, that's how bound I was. I mean, anything. He used to find it exhausting being with me at Christian conferences because we were surrounded by preachers and pastors. And I'd be like, constantly trying to cover up everything he said because he didn't care what anyone thought. You know, you'd have these really important men of God. You know those ones, like so important. And if they ask you what you think, you really don't tell them. You know, you go, well, I think the same as you, you know. Not my husband. You know, just preached a mighty message, released it to thousands. And then what did you think of my message? Well, it was great. Loved it. But I'm not sure that I agree. I'm like, oh, no. Agree with them, please. Now, that's how bound I was, right? But I've been on a journey. But then a little while ago, you see, we're work in progress. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop changing. And a little while ago, I met somebody. I didn't know who he was from Adam. And God just supernaturally brought this man into a meeting that Paolo and I were at, and, you know, we were just serving him and doing what we could to bless him, and just didn't have a clue who he was, and, you know, but just being ourselves. And this guy, you know, soon enough in the day, he started going, just saying, wow, there's something about you, you're wonderful, and whatever, you know, and bless, that's very sweet, and just, you know, carrying on. Now, at the end of the day, I found out who the man was. And I was like, God, thank you so much. I didn't know at the beginning of the day. But by the end of the day, I discovered this person was as connected as you can get in television networks. I was like, whoa. So that was fine. Thank you, Lord. That was great. You saved me from, you know, trying to impress somebody. prod your neighbor. Now, this person then turned up somewhere I was preaching. And he said, I specifically just wanted to receive from your ministry. And I was like, oh my goodness. Oh wow, what a great opportunity. Fantastic. Wouldn't it be great if he really loves my preaching? Are you hearing me? You started off well. Oh, you foolish Galatians. You started off in the spirit. You started off well. Why do you now turn to the arm of flesh? And so the entire time I preached, I was conscious of this person. And do you know, at the end of that message, I just felt so defiled. Now, God, by his goodness, will work with us and work through us anyway, and he will bless people anyway. But I knew by the end of that that I had stopped seeking the favor of God. And I was now wanting a human being to... But think about how stupid that is. The guy liked me before I knew who he was. The guy's saying, wow, you know, I want to help you. Saying to Paolo, I want to help you. I mean, just God did something supernaturally. But then the stinking old flesh, man-pleasing, seeking favor from people, reared its ugly head in me. And I wept before the Lord. And I said, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, Lord. Because I always want to seek your favor. And you know the honest truth, something the Lord showed me as I was preparing this message. There are some of you, and that's happened in your heart. You started off seeking God's favor, but now you've been looking for favor from people. You've been looking for people to approve you, to open doors for you. And God is saying that until your posture changes, you'll be waiting. You know, and pray that you'll be waiting, because you see, I don't want a man to open a door for me. Are you hearing me? Because if a man opens it, a man can shut it. But if God opens a door for you, no man can shut it. He is the God who holds the keys of David, who opens doors that no man can shut, ever. You know, I just believe that God wants to set people free today. You don't need to look to see what your father thinks every step of the way. You need to see what your father in heaven thinks. You don't need to be looking to see what that older cousin, that big brother, that colleague who's so successful and knows just how to get the favor of the boss. You don't need to be looking to your boss, to your leader. Even you don't need before God your husband's approval. Husbands, you don't need your wife to affirm you or validate you. You need God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, all the while we seek favor from people, it's a trap. And we feel all churning on the inside. We feel all anxious. But when we shift our attention and place our eyes back on God, there is a freedom, there is a justice, there is an answer to prayers, there is a place that we can go that we would never get any other way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, and this is the New Living Translation, it says, our purpose, say my purpose. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Our purpose is to please God and not people. You know, I mean, just this is a ridiculous example. But you know, when I was just oh so horribly insecure as a student and so desperate for affirmation and love, one of the times a year I didn't like was Valentine's. How many single people don't like Valentine's? Come on, tell the truth. Only one. I know the truth. So it's between you and God. But I really didn't like the thought of Valentine's and nothing landing on my doormat. I'd be like, oh no, that means I'm totally undesirable. So every year at this time, or one year in particular, oh my goodness, I just decided I am not going to be put to shame on Valentine's Day. Now, this is when I was backslidden. Turn to your neighbor, elbow them and say, she was backslidden. Right? So this is not a recommendation. I remember, we talk about pleasing people. Listen, don't go trying to please a bunch of men because you're desperate for a husband. Amen. Having someone beside you doesn't make you a better person. It really doesn't. Do you know what I would do? I knew just how to give off enough vibes to the right people at the right time. And you know, I ended up literally with, I think it was three, sorry, my love, and I never managed to get them with him. I'm joking. He gives me flowers all the time, but not on Valentine's particularly. That's because he thinks, you know, if he does it then, it's because society says. So he does it the rest of the time, don't you, my love? When was the last time you gave me flowers? Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. But that Valentine's Day, I ended up with three bouquets of red roses. Three, plus the cards. You understanding? Because something in the inside of me said, I have to be affirmed. I have to hear from other people that I'm okay. I have to have something land on my doorstep that validates me. And it's a trap. And I didn't even like any of them. I didn't. And one got very persistent. Yeah. He says it wasn't him. This was my backslidden days, my love. Yeah, you weren't in my life back then. Where were you? If you'd been around, maybe I'd never have... Anyway, moving swiftly on. Many seek the ruler's favor. But justice, what does justice mean? Wholeness, fulfillment. When things are just and right, everything is in place. Everything's fitting together. Like, you know, when there's injustice, we feel angry. We feel upset. We feel bothered. When there's justice, life is good. Justice for man comes from the Lord. God wants you to shift your attention from people to God today. The Bible says, do not take to heart everything that people say. It doesn't matter what they think. Yeah, we need to be able to hear feedback. This is so different, and we all know that. Don't let the devil try and warp words in your heart. It doesn't matter what people think, and if you don't take their praises to heart, then you'll find it easier not to take their criticism to heart. But if you feed off people's praises, then when the same person turns around and slaps you down with their words, it'll knock you over. You know, we've got to learn not to feed on the words of people at all, not to nourish our self-esteem with what other people think, because it doesn't nourish it anyway. You know, and one of the things I love is what God said to Paul the Apostle. He said this in Acts 26, verse 17. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people and the Gentiles that I'm sending you to. What does this mean? That if you're ever going to be able to really, really help someone, wives, if you're ever going to be a great helpmeet, you can't be afraid of what your husband thinks of you. If you're going to go and you're going to get your family saved, then you've got to get to a point where you don't care what they think of you. If you're going to go into that office place and bring the light of Jesus and bring the liberty of the Holy Spirit, you can't be seeking the favor from mere men and women. Are you hearing me? And God said to Paul, he said, I'm going to deliver you from these people so that you can go to them and help them. Are you hearing me? God wants to deliver you this morning from the opinions of people. He doesn't want you to lie awake at night worrying about what your boss thinks, what your colleagues think, what that person down the road thinks, what that critical person in your network thinks of you. Do you know one of the things you've got to do regularly? I do this all the time. I imagine the worst, and please hear me to the end on this. So what if they hate me? Do you know what, God? I don't mind if they think I'm proud and arrogant and a total loser. Are you hearing me? I don't mind if they think I'm a failure. I don't mind if they think I'm just a pastor's wife. That used to be a big problem for me. I was desperate for people to know I'm not just a pastor's wife. Really, I'm a bit more than that. So I'd spend the whole time trying to convince them, well, I'm important too. Well, it's like my husband and I were discussing. There are hardly ever women defined by the role of their husbands. Your wife isn't known as a policeman's husband. I mean, wife. It's true, isn't it? You know, I mean, anyone here defined by their husband's role? No. So you see, pastors' wives have to be especially secure, especially focused on being favored by God and not by man. I mean, really, it's only farmers' wives that I think have the same issue. And I don't know many. You know, I could go chasing across the countryside looking for some cows and hoping there's a farmer who's married to a wife. But really, I'm just going to have to get over it myself and care what God thinks. Will you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Will you shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, I lift up every person in this place who has been tormented, who has been so worried and concerned and filled with anxiety as a result of worrying about what people think. Just keep your eyes shut right now. Father, I pray for each one today. Lord, you know what causes the heart of a man to seek the approval of people. Often it's that we just get so desperate for breakthrough that we lose sense of where our breakthrough will come from. Sometimes we've grown up with so little affirmation from family and loved ones that we're so broken that we're constantly seeking it from anyone who will give it. But Father, right now, I pray for every person in this place who has struggled in this area. Just as everyone keeps their eyes shut, if that's you, you've really struggled. I don't mean a little, but you've really struggled with just seeking approval from people. I just want to ask you to lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord right now and just open your heart before Him. You know, whenever I see something in my heart that is wrong, I just spill it out before God straight away. Right now, just tell the Lord, God, I am so sorry. Just you speak to the Lord. I've sought human opinion. I've wanted to be liked by people, by important people. If there's someone in particular in your life that you've constantly sought their approval, right now, just tell the Lord about it. Just tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. Ask the Lord to heal you deep in your innermost being. If there's an underlying wound or wounds that have caused it. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here today and you're maybe like me, God's done a lot of work in this area already, but you can see that you've backslid a bit and you've started to seek human opinion. You've started to look at what people are saying, or you've wanted someone to like you or approve of you. Just again, as everyone has their eyes shut, you lift your hands up in the presence of God. And right now, just talk to the Lord about it. Father, I'm sorry for where I've sought human approval. I'm sorry for looking for favor from man, from woman, from family. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive me. Thank you, Lord God. And now I want us to declare together what Paul said. And we're going to say together now, my purpose is to please God and not people. Right now, just make that declaration together. My purpose is to please God and not people. Tell the Lord, I look to you for your approval. I look to you for favor. I look to you to answer my prayers. I look to you to open doors. I look to you for my breakthrough. I look to you for affirmation and approval. I look to you to fulfill my purpose. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah.